Book of Acts, chapter number 2. We're reading from verse number 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Praise God. Amen. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. When God gives you the Holy Ghost, He fills you with the Holy Ghost. Amen. You don't have to have classes and go through kindergarten and first and second and third grade class so that you, and then finally when you graduate out of high school, you know, you got a certain level that you can, then you got to go through college and get more levels of the Holy Ghost and then get your master's degree and your doctorate's degree before you can be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. You can be filled with the Holy Ghost on day one. Praise God. And I think that the key word in there is holy. Praise God. Holy. Amen. Let's just love the Lord and let's take these needs before the Lord today. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you. We're so indebted to you. God, praise God, praise God. Why don't you put those hands together? Magnify the Lord here today. Hallelujah, Jesus. We praise you and lift you up. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We praise you and lift you up, Jesus. Oh, glory, 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 glory to God. Amen and amen. And God bless you and you may be seated. Praise God. Amen. I believe that tonight that there will be some things that will begin to come together. Not that there are things that we are not clear on. I believe that for the most part we are all aware, conscious, and trained upon what holiness is. I want to specify that there is a distinct difference between holiness and standards. We do have standards of holiness, amen, but that is what they are. They are standards, and we are talking about the holiness of God. And because that we are talking about the holiness of God at some point in time, we will have to discuss standards of holiness. But we have discussed that our God is holy, and we have talked about in pursuit of being a Christian. But tonight I want to talk about a holy God with His holy people. Amen. A holy God with His holy people. And we have talked about that in order to even begin to take on the nature of holiness, we have got to be Christians. Not just pseudo-Christians or not just denominal Christians, as the world would say, but true Christians according to a biblical definition. And then we talked about a holy God and knowing that holy God. And in knowing the holy God, we have to be able to understand and to know his heart. And then we have to be able to know our heart. And in knowing this, our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know it? And out of the heart, amen, is born all kinds of sins. And from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And then finally, he that trusteth in his heart, the Bible said, is a fool. And so we do not trust our heart. We do not trust our emotions and such, our decisions. Amen. We do this by seeking first the kingdom of God and then loving God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind. And even in the New Testament, it said that our strength. And so before I give away my emotions, I am going to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I'm going to ask God if this is a good way to give away my emotions, if this is proper, if this is correct. And I'm going to use counsel and guidance in doing so. And before I make decisions that could affect my spirit, affect my soul, I want to seek first the counsel of God, amen, through prayer and fasting, and then, amen, also through the ministry, the man of God. I am not the type of person that wants to nickel and dime God's people to death as far as making decisions. I am of the opinion to build and to make, to create strong Christians, strong saints. Amen. I want you to understand, amen, that you are capable of making some decisions. Amen. But when it begins to concern your soul, amen, you need to seek the counsel of God in all areas. Praise God. Amen. Somebody says, well, do I need to go to the pastor before I buy a car? Amen. If you feel like you do, let's come talk and let me help you. Let me help you become stronger. But you know, the principle of it is simply is, if you can't afford it, amen, the answer is no. Amen. If it's going to strap you, amen, to where you're having to nickel and dime yourself, the answer is no. Amen. You don't need my opinion and my approval on that. You ought to be able to understand and to budget your money and to be able to make that decision. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. If you're considering moving, amen, then I need to be one of the first ones that you talk to, amen, before you give your heart, your emotions, and your mind away, because it is going to affect your soul. Praise God. Amen. 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 But tonight I want to talk about a holy God with his holy people. We know that God is holy, and we have established this, and I will go back through some of it and adding a few things in with that. But in the book of Leviticus chapter number 11 and verse 44 through 45, for I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourself, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourself with any manner of creeping thing that creep upon the earth, for I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God, and ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. Amen. And so he said that we were to sanctify ourselves, or he said, ye shall therefore sanctify yourself. And we know what that word sanctify means, and we're going to continue to talk about it week after week. But it means set apart for a specific purpose. Praise God. Set apart for a specific purpose. I think that the key word in that, obviously there's few key words there. Amen. But one of the things, the principle of it is separate. Amen. Set apart. Amen. You're not put in there with everything. We talked about that defiled hairbrush. Amen. That got put in the toilet and then used on Papa's head. Amen. And so therefore it was defiled. Amen. But that hairbrush is set apart. You don't go looking for the hairbrush, amen, in the pantry with all of the canned foods. You don't go looking for it under the counter in the kitchen where all of the chemicals and cleaners are. You probably don't go looking for it in your chest of drawers there in the house. It's got a place that it is put, and that's where you look for it. And just know that we are sanctified unto the Lord. And there is a place that He is going to look for us when He needs us. That's not going to be in the bars. That's not going to be in the honky-tonks. That's not going to be, amen, in a lot of worldly venues, amen, and such. Amen. When God comes looking for us, is He going to be able to find you? Because He's not going into the bar to look for you. And He's not going, amen, into a house of ill repute looking for you. He's not going into the movie theaters looking for you. You have been sanctified. You've been set apart. He said, come out from among them and be ye separate. Leviticus 19 and 2, speak unto the congregation of the children of Israel and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. In Isaiah chapter number 6, amen, Isaiah would say that in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple, and above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With twain He covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. And one cried and said unto another, and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the Bible said that the post of the door moved at the voice of Him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Can I just stop right there and interject that when the church gets a revelation of the holiness of God, the purity of God, and the strength of God, that when we begin to lift our voice in adoration and worship unto that holy God, something is going to move. The Bible said that the doorpost began to move. Amen. The voice of Him that cried, and the entire house was filled with smoke. You don't need smoke machines when you've got pure worship unto a holy God. When everybody's eyes are upon the holy God, when everybody's feelings are upon the holy God, when everybody's attention is upon the holy God, something's going to happen. Sinners are not going to be able to sit still. Visitors aren't going to be able to sit still. The lukewarm aren't going to be able to sit still. The cold and indifferent are not going to be able to sit still. God put us in a church that is red hot with apostolic worship, that is crying and declaring, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You're not just here for a fashion show. You're not just here for entertainment. You're not just here, amen, for friendships and club memberships. There is salvation in the house of God. But I want you to know that the one that fills the universe with his glory inhabits the praises of him. Amen. And when we cry out to him, he is there. Amen. There is no need, amen, to belittle the worship of God. There ought to be a worship in you. Can I just say tonight that it doesn't matter how tired that you are, when you begin to worship God, there is a strength that comes down. There is a connection that begins to happen from the earth unto the heavens, and the whole earth filled with his glory, and the house filled with the smoke, and everything is moving because the saints are declaring how holy he is. Let's just worship him. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Our response should not have to be coerced out of us. There ought to be an understanding, a revelation. I'm in love with the Holy God. Amen. And the Holy God is in love with me. Amen. Talking in tongues is not a cure for lack of character. Amen. But when you come to the house of God and you begin to worship, amen, and you get into the presence of God with pure worship, there is something that transpires. I am afraid that there are too many so-called Christians professing what they do not possess. Praise God. Professing what they do not possess. Amen. Praise God. And we're going to understand that a little bit better here in a moment. Leviticus chapter number 20 and verse number 7. There's that word again. Sanctify yourselves, therefore. Sanctify yourselves, therefore. And be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. And just the chapter before that, he said that he was the Lord your God, and that he was holy. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse 15 through 16 says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Praise God. Amen. And so we know that God is holy. Praise the Lord. And this holy God had a plan. Praise God. He had a plan. Jeremiah chapter number 31 and verse number 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. Let me just say that the concept of I can be a Christian and do what I want to do is false doctrine and fallacy. The Lord said, I will put my law in their inward parts. That means there's going to be some do's and some don'ts. There's some things that you can and you can't. Amen. And this is God's word. Praise God. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Obviously, this is speaking concerning the new covenant, which would be the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Repentance, baptism in his name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, which would be the fulfillment of prophecy
or the substance of shadow. The shadow in the Old Testament was that tabernacle, and not just the tabernacle, for there were many things that was shadow of things to come. We could talk about the Red Sea being a shadow of baptism. We could talk about the Jordan River being that. We could talk about other things being that. But we know that in that tabernacle there was the altar of sacrifice, repentance. That was the shadow of repentance. There was the laver of water, which was the shadow of baptism. And then there was the mercy seat that was in there, and there was the Ark of the Covenant, and then we know that God's Spirit was on the inside of that, and that's where the blood was sprinkled there upon that mercy seat, and sins were atoned there in the holies of holies. And so in the New Testament, there is a man by the name of John the Baptist, and he would say that I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. And he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Praise God. And so he just puts it out there that the one that is coming after him shall baptize them with the Holy Ghost and with fire. We see a prophetic prophecy in John chapter number 20 when the disciples were with the Lord Jesus in the same day at evening time in chapter 20 of verse number 19, being the first day of the week. When the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And so we see that this is the beginning of it. John said that the one coming after would do this, and Jesus begins to put the wheels in motion. In Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 3, we read here, to whom also he showed himself alive, or in other words, Jesus showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Acts chapter number 2, we see the fulfillment of this is God filling the vessels, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Praise God. And so we see that a holy God from the beginning, from the Old Testament, a holy God came and dwelt among unrighteous men. But the Bible said that this holy God filled these unrighteous men with the Holy Ghost once they had repented. Amen. That word holy, sacred, and such. But we know it is indicative of a purity, of a nature of God. And we know that when you receive the Holy Ghost, you are in a sense receiving the nature of God. And I think that it is important that in order to receive that nature of God, that you have to first clean yourself out. That's what we call repentance. Amen. And repentance is not simply saying, I am sorry. That's part of it. That is the expression of it. You need to have emotions of remorse and emotions of regret. But just simply saying, I am sorry for what I have done is not repentance. Repentance, as we know, is an about face.
face, a military term for about face. It is turning around and going the opposite direction. It is the things that you used to do, you turn around from and you separate yourself from them and you don't do them anymore. Amen. It is a false mentality to say, well, I repented of smoking cigarettes, but I'm going to continue to smoke until I get the Holy Ghost. You haven't repented. Amen. You haven't repented. Amen. Praise God. Well, I repented of doing drugs, but until I get the Holy Ghost, I don't believe that I can be delivered. And when I get the Holy Ghost, I'll be set free. You haven't repented. Amen. And there's all kinds of things that we can talk about. But the interesting part there is man that was so unrighteous, so ungodly, so unwholesome, so dirty, that when they bring themselves to the altar of repentance and they sacrifice themselves there by saying, God, forgive me for everything that I have done. Amen. And I'm not going back to those things again. There is a holy God that takes them at their word. And I'm not going to get into all of this. That doesn't God know whether he's going to go smoke a cigarette tomorrow or not. Amen. We're not getting into that. That's different, complete, different lesson there. But we just want to touch this, that when that sinner comes down and falls at an altar and begins to repent, and that remorse is there, and they ask for forgiveness of sins, and a holy God forgives them of their sins, at that point they are as clean as they can be. Obviously, there needs to be the washing of water. There needs to be the washing away of sins. Amen. So that those sins go before. Amen. That those sins are remitted. Because at this moment, the sin is not remitted. It's just been forgiven. Amen. But at that moment, they are as clean as they can possibly be. I understand that some will not receive the Holy Ghost at that moment, but will be baptized in Jesus' name. And when they come up out of the water, amen, one more time again, they are as clean as you can possibly be spiritually. And God fills that clean vessel with the Holy Ghost. When a person says, forgive me, for I have been a liar, and I have been a cheat, and I have been a fornicator, and I'm asking you to forgive me, God forgives that individual. Amen. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. Amen. But the Bible says, amen, that he is the propitiation, the sacrifice for the sins of the world. Not just for us, but for the entire world. And that he is just and able to forgive. And so God forgives that person. And God fills that person with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Amen. Not the dirty ghost. Not the partial ghost. Amen. Not some, amen, other second part of ghost. But he fills them with the true Holy Ghost. Amen. They have a holy nature about them. Amen. When they are filled with the Holy Ghost, the Bible says that all things become new. That old things are passed away. They're lying. They're cheating. They're fornicating, their adultery, their drugs, all of that other stuff. He, man, is forgiven, ready to be remitted if it hasn't been baptized yet. Amen. But God, they are a new creature in Christ. Amen. And that's as holy as you're possibly going to get. Amen. I don't know if I've got you all with me here right now, but just hear me out tonight. Praise God. You'll understand when I'm finished here today. The Bible said that the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. God, forgive me of my sins. I give myself to you. I want to be yours. I want to be pure. I want to be holy. I want to be what you, as a holy God, want me to be. And the Bible says, let everyone that nameth
blasphemeth the name of Christ, depart from iniquity. Amen. You've got to come out. You've got to depart from unrighteousness. You've got to depart from wrongfulness. You've got to depart from uncleanliness. You've got to separate yourself from the things, the bitter elements of this world, if you're going to stay holy before God, because God is holy. Amen, amen. I could jump ahead of myself, and let me just give you just a little cheater spot here today. Amen. You know that God doesn't dwell in unclean temples, and that God's not going to shack up with sin. And so I don't care what kind of clothes you wear. I don't care if you wear, amen, sleeves that touch your fingertips, and dresses, amen, that sweep the floor as you walk, and necklines that go up and up over your chin. Amen. If you've got unrighteousness in you, amen, if you've got uncleanliness in you, amen, if you've got sin in you, you're not holy. Amen. No matter what kind of clothes, no matter what kind of standard that you wear on the outside, if you've got sin on the inside, amen, it's just a profession, amen, that is not there. Your profession that you are something and you're not really that. You've got to come out from among them and be a separate. And the Lord said, when you do this, I will receive you.
Praise God. Hallelujah. This holy God had a principle that he established from the beginning of time that humanity does not really like to acknowledge. But whether we acknowledge it or not does not change the word of God. So for instance, there will be people that will say, I don't believe that. I'm not trying to be crass, but God didn't ask me what I believed and what I didn't believe. As a matter of fact, his word was established long before I ever was. Praise God. And so God has a principle that was established in the book of Genesis chapter number 1. And it was a principle of separation. And God chose that principle of separation. He said, let there be light. And he divided the light from the darkness. He separated the light from the darkness. And he called the light day, and he called the darkness night. Amen. He did not let them mingle together and just, amen, stay together. He separated the light from the darkness. Praise God. We know that in the Bible, it teaches us, amen, that we are to put off the works of darkness. And so God did not just on day 3 when he established the light, he did not just let that be a regular principle, but that is a spiritual principle as well, in that we are to put off the works of darkness. Amen. In Peter, he said that we have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Praise God. In Exodus chapter number 33, verse number 16, for wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? And so shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And God said, my people are going to be separate. My people are not going to be like the rest. As a matter of fact, in Exodus chapter number 11 and verse number 7, he had said, but against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that they may know that the Lord doth put a
difference between the Egyptian and Israel. And so God said, there is going to be a difference. There's going to be a difference from the Egyptians and the Israelites. There's going to be a difference in my people, amen, and all the people that are upon the face of the earth. You know what that word difference represents. Amen. It just simply means that you are going to be peculiar. You're going to be different. You're not going to be like everybody else. You're not going to look like everybody else. You're not going to talk like everybody else. You're not going to be like everybody else and act like everybody else. God said you're going to be my people. And when they see you, there is going to be a notable difference. Amen. The children of God are not going to look like the Egyptians. We know that Egypt was a type of sin, amen, and a type of the world, amen, and that they were in the world, and God called them out, and he saved them, he delivered them from sin. And the Lord said, my people are not going to look like the world. Amen. When you look at a conglomeration of people, you're going to be able to pick them out. You're going to be able to see the difference, and you're going to be able to say, that's an Israelite, and that's an Egyptian. Amen. And that's a person of God, a lady of God, a man of God. And that's a worldly individual. Amen. I did not choose this principle, but God said, I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to purchase you. I'm going to pardon your sin. And I want you to be different. I want the entire world to know that you belong to me. I want the world to know that I purchased your salvation. I purchased your pardon. I want the world to know that you are mine. Praise God. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Let me continue on here tonight. There was a distinct separation. Amen. God began to get into things that to a lot of people didn't really matter. And so this is the shadow of things that were to come. Because we can take a look at these things and we can say, you know what, that's just being nitpicky. Amen. That's just being a little overbearing. That's just being a little too much. That's just being, a dictator. I didn't write the Bible. I didn't write it. God put it all into play. Every word is given by the inspiration of God. Praise God. But in the book of Leviticus, chapter number 19 and verse number 19, the Lord said, you shall keep my statutes. I want you to know that he is talking to his people. He said, if you're going to be my people, then there are some laws. We read about that in Jeremiah 31, where he said, I'm going to put my laws into their heart. And so in Leviticus 19, he says, you, when he's talking about his people, he said, you shall keep my statutes, my laws. And then he said it like this, thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with a diverse kind. Thou shalt not sow thy field with mingled seed. Neither shall a garment mingled of linen and woolen come upon thee. Amen. God said, I want to keep it pure. I want to keep it untainted. I want to keep everything distinct. I feel the Lord here tonight. Amen. God said, we're not going to mix things up. We're not going to blur the lines. We're not going to sit back and have to wonder, amen, is this this or is this that? He said, there's going to be a line of demarcation. There is going to be a distinct line in this. And you're going to be my people and you're going to keep my statutes. He said, your cattle shall not gender with a diverse kind. He said, keep it pure. Amen. Keep the bloodline pure. Amen. If I could say it like this, and I know that that genetics, and I know that Scientology and all these other things, amen, have done diverse things, and therefore you've got hybrids and you've got all this other amen stuff. But he said, you're not going to take the Holstein, amen, and made it over here. amen, with the Brahmas. Amen. He said the Brahma's going to stay with the Brahma. The Holstein's going to stay with the Holsteins. And everything's going to stay with itself. We're going to keep it pure and in part. And then he goes on to say in Deuteronomy 22:9, he said, thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with diverse seeds. I didn't finish out Leviticus 19:19, but it says it here again. And out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. He said, you're going to, when you sow, he said, don't sow with diverse kind. Don't throw in all kinds of different seeds. He said, you sow wheat with wheat. You sow corn with corn. You sow the soybean with the soybean. Amen. You keep these things together. Let everything be separate on its own. And then he says, you shall lest the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown and the fruit of the vineyard be defiled. He said, thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. If you're going to plow, then you do it with two oxen. If you're going to plow, you do it with two donkeys or two mules. But you don't put a mule with an oxen. You keep them separate. You keep it pure. Hey man, this is the way that you're going to prosper. He said, you shall not wear a garment of divers sorts, such as woolen and linen together. Amen. In other words, what he was saying is when you make your clothes, they're either going to be 100% wool or they're going to be 100% linen. They're going to be 100% polyester or they're going to be 100% whatever. Amen. But what he was saying is, I want separation. I want distinction. I want clear definition and delineation in everything. I want it to be pure. Praise God. Amen. In Ezekiel chapter 22 and in chapter 44, he began to discuss some other things of separation. He talked about the holy and the profane. He talked about the clean and the unclean. And he said that they had made, amen, the holy things mixed with the profane things, and they had profaned the holy. And so now we're getting out of just oxen and mules and wool and linen, and we're getting out of wheat and corn, but now we're getting into the spiritual part of it. And what he is saying is, you cannot take that which is profane and put it with the holy, and it's still going to be holy, because when the profane comes in contact with the holy, it's going to profane the holy things. The only one that is immune to this is God. And can I tell you why God is immune to it? It's because God said, I'm not going to have any part in it. If you're going to bring the profane in, I'm out. If you're going to bring in the unholy things, I'm out. I'm not going to be a part of the things that are not of God and that are not holy. If it's profane, keep it out of my house. If it's unclean, keep it out of my house. That's why you, as the clean, can't go into an unclean world and do a lot of things and come out clean. You've got to come out from among them and be a separate.
Praise God. Praise God.
There, due to human mentality, there is a mindset within humanity that wants to know just how far they can go without getting in trouble. We got Micah's little rat, or his little dog, over at our house. And she's constantly doing this. She wants to see just how far she can go before you say, Mocha, no. And then she's still gonna push it a little bit. That seems to be the mentality of a lot of humanity. That we get to that place that we're constantly looking over our shoulders.
How far can I go before I become unclean? How much can I play in the mud before I become dirty? How much can I play around with the world before I become dirty? Now, let me just stop and interject some things here today. I'm not against going out and fellowshipping with the world as far as going out to eat with them and such like that. We know that Jesus went and he ate with sinners and publicans. But you got to understand what he was doing. He was influencing them. They were not influencing him. He was drawing them unto him, and they were not drawing them him unto them. And so there is that line that you've got to keep. And they say that that's why that new converts win more people than established saints. It's because they still have worldly friends. And the mentality of the church gets to the place that is, well, I'm so holy I can't have worldly friends. I don't think that that's biblical. I don't think that that's correct theology. Amen. I believe it. How are we ever going to win sinners if we don't get out there and talk to them? Amen. They say that the best way to win sinners is through the Friends program. Friends, relatives, and neighbors. Amen. You got to have sinner friends before you can win them to God. You got to have sinner relatives before you can win them to God. And you got to have sinner neighbors before you can win them to God. Praise God. And so we keep things in balance and in order and right. Praise God. Amen. But when you begin to get out there and play in the world with the things of the world, amen, there is the danger of coming up dirty. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. And it's too easy to corrupt your temple. I mean, like, you know, I don't want to get there just quite yet. But in the New Testament, the principle of separation continues. As we see that Jesus declares that upon that great day, that he would put the sheep on his right hand and divide the goats onto his left hand. And so there was the separation of those. Even in the Old Testament, we see that there was the separation of the spotted and the speckled. In the New Testament, we have the precious and the vile. Amen. Jesus spoke about the great divide that was between, that would separate the beggar from the rich man. There was a great divide that separated. Friend, if you don't like the principle of separation, amen, you're not going to like heaven. You're not going to like God. Amen. You cannot mingle with the world. You cannot look like the world. You cannot act like the world. You can't do the things of the world and keep in contact with a holy God. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. That's why it's important to come to pre-service prayer. Because you're out there and your hands are dirty and you've been in the world. You didn't ask for that dust to be sprinkled upon you, but just being in there. We are in the world, but not of the world. And just being out there, we're going to come in and we're not going to feel so holy. And we're not going to feel so righteous. And we need a place at the altar that we can come to and we can say, God, wash my mind, wash my spirit, wash my hands, wash my flesh. I want to be what you need me to be. And if I'm going to be in the presence of a holy God, I want to be clean. I want to be pure. I want to be holy. I feel the unction of the Lord here tonight. Praise God. I just want to know how holy of a church it really is. If there's no move of the Spirit, if there's no move of the Holy Ghost, how can the church be a holy church if there's no move of the Spirit? I could go a long ways here right now. Somebody needs to pray. Hallelujah. Amen. But oh, there is a holy God that wants our worship, but he's not going to come down and commune with filthiness and dirtiness and rottenness and vileness and the putrid sins of the world. That's why we've got to come and we've got to wash and we've got to communicate with God and pray that God would cleanse us. Praise God. Well, I've hit a wall here tonight. Amen. We're just going to back up and hit it again.
Amen. This is where we are. This is where we are, and this is what we got to deal with. Praise God. But if you don't have liberty, and if you don't have freedom to worship, there's something that's wrong. There's something that's wrong. You can't go play in the pig pens of the world and then come into the dance hall of God and be footloose and fancy free. You're going to come in bound up. Amen. That's the best place to be for you is to be bound up. Because if you can come in and you've been out there in that world and you've been looking at perversion, amen, and you've been acting perverted and you've been doing illicit things and you've been doing all kinds of things and you come into the house of God and you just throw your hands up and you begin to worship God, that's hypocrisy. And that's what God has a problem with. God doesn't necessarily have a problem with the sinner because the sinner knows I'm not right. The sinner knows that they're lost, and God knows that they're lost. But what God has a problem with is when a person that is lukewarm, amen, won't have anything to do with repentance and just comes in and says, I'm going to shout and I'm going to dance and nobody's going to know what I'm doing. Amen. The hypocrite has no intentions of changing. But when you get in the house of God, there ought to be something on the inside of you that says, I want to be in the holy presence of a holy God. And I want this holy God to accept me. And therefore, I must be holy. And so, I'm going to wash out and repent. Praise God. Praise God. I was talking with the preacher several years ago, many years ago. And he said that he used to go to this certain youth camp in a different state, and it wasn't Texas or Louisiana, and it wasn't Kansas. And he used to go to this youth camp in a different state, and he said, I went there, and he said, I remember, he said, I was a teenager my first year there, and he said, there we were in the church, and he said everybody was down there and they were doing the huckabuck and they were sweating and they were shouting and they were juking and jiving and jerking and all kinds of stuff. And he said, and after service they asked me, they said, hey, said, you want to go out with us? And he said, well, it was my first year. I didn't know any of them. He said, I wanted to be accepted. And he said, so I thought, well, I'll go. He said, so we went out to eat and did a few things and stuff. And he said, they drove out in some dark place over on an overlook of a hill that looked down into the city and such. And he said, man, he said, boys started making out with the girls and such. And he said, somebody broke out, you know, some weed and started smoking a joint and stuff. And he said, you know, he said, and I come to the realization that's just who that they were. That's just who they were. When you find that type of environment, you're not going to find a holy God. What you have found is entertainment and talent, and you have found the worship and the glorification of flesh, because God's not going to be involved in that. God's there if somebody's ready to repent. He's as close as the mention of his name, and he's standing by, but he's not going to involve himself in that type of garbage. And so probably one of the scariest places that you can be is when you got sin that's in your life and you can still worship like everybody else. Professing that a holy God is accepting your worship. It's not righteousness, that's self-righteousness. You're not holy. And if you're not holy, he's not going to receive you. Praise God. And you didn't change any of your clothes attire, your outward attire. You're still wearing the same exact thing. But that what you wear does not make you holy. And that's what we're pushing for. That's what we are desirous of. Are there some things that we need to wear? Yes. Are there some things that we shouldn't wear? Yes. We'll get to those in time. But when we understand the principle behind it, then revelation, or let me say it like this, When we understand the principle behind it, rules become revelations. We don't need more rules. We need a revelation. We need a revelation of why that God is the way that He is. And I may not ever understand why that He is, but I just need to know who He is. And if I can understand His heartbeat, and if I can emulate that heartbeat, and if I can love people like He loves people, and He doesn't desire anybody to go to hell, amen, then I'm going to love people like He loves them. And I'm not going to desire that anybody would go to hell. And I'm not going to let my testimony, amen, be smeared by the cares and the sins of this world. I want people to look at me and see my good works and magnify my Father which is in heaven. Praise God. Amen. And finally, it culminated with a separation between heaven and hell. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 19. What? Know ye not? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. He filled you with the Holy Ghost. And your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. He said, which you have in God, and you are not of your own. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. Verse 14, he said, he's bringing some more separation here. He says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Praise God. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath, here's some more separation, righteousness with unrighteousness. And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? All of that separation. All of that separation. Righteousness and unrighteousness. Light and darkness. Christ, Belial. Believers and infidels. He said, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? More separation. He says, for you are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Amen. We need to remember, we've got Christ in us, the hope of glory. We have got the Spirit of the Almighty God living on the inside of us. It's not, amen, a pillar of fire on a tabernacle somewhere, or a cloud above a tabernacle, or a cloud above a man, but it is a pillar of fire, cloven tongues like as a fire, that set above every one of them that were filled with the Holy Ghost, signifying God saying, my presence is inside of them. If you've received the Holy Ghost, you are a temple of God. If you have received the Holy Ghost, amen, you are a vessel that God dwells in. And therefore God says that the righteous which you have got to be is not going to fellowship with unrighteousness. And he said that you as light are not going to have communion with darkness, because no, there's no concord between Christ and Belial. Amen. And he that believeth with an infidel, and he what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? And he said, wherefore come out from among them. Amen. What is them? We already talked about it. The unrighteous, the darkness, the Belial, the infidel, the idols. He said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. If the Holy Ghost, the Holy One of Israel, is so very interested in the principle of separation that he spoke against some of these things that have been already mentioned here, then the Holy God is very, very interested in His people being holy. Praise God. Praise God. His truth is not subject to man's opinion. He established this. He said, there's heaven, there's hell. I'm not going to force you to do either one. You do whatever you want to do. But there is a choice, and there is no middle ground. There's light or there's darkness. You choose, but you will choose. But you don't get to hang around in the middle part of everything. Amen. It's either holy or it's unholy. It's clean or it's unclean. And this takes us to a verse that I had never looked at this way until today. And in studying and reading this, all of a sudden it just jumped out at me. But in the book of James, chapter number 1, and I know I'm slow, so you probably already have this revelation. But in James, chapter number 1, and verse number 13, James said, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth He any man. Oh, that is so powerful. That is so powerful. That is so powerful. I want you to think about that for a second. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. God lives inside of you. And the Bible said that He's not going to tempt any man. You know why? Here's why. Because when God's living on the inside of you and He's got relation with you, He's not gonna invite the devil to come by so that he has to leave. You belong to Him. This is His vessel now. My temple, my vessel belongs to God. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. It's the Spirit of God dwelling in me. And God is love, and God is mercy, and God is faithful, and God is holy. But God's not going to shack up with sin, and God's not going to invite sin to come by the house so that you can fall into it. Because it's not His will that any should perish. If temptation comes, it's not of God. Temptation comes because of the devil. Because the Bible said that when the unclean spirit has walked to and fro through dry places, he come back to his vessel, to the vessel that he considers to be his. And he looks to see, amen, who's on the inside. And he begins to look through the windows. And here comes the temptation. But it's not God bringing in the alcohol saying, you think you want to drink it today? It's not God bringing in the drugs. It's not God bringing in the women. It's not God bringing in the guys. It's not God bringing in the perversion and the pornography and all this other stuff and trying to put it before you. That's not God. Amen. Because that's God's temple. And God's temple is going to be holy. And God's temple is going to be clean. Amen. It's not going to be profaned. It's not going to be vile. And so God's not going to tempt you to make that vessel dirty. But that unclean spirit comes around. Amen. That unclean spirit comes around. Amen. The Bible said that every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. Drawn away. Drawn away. At some point in a time, you're going to have to let go of some holy statutes. You're going to have to let go of some holy memorials. You're going to have to let go of a holy God. And you're going to have to be drawn away to look at things, to experience things. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And the Bible said that when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Do not err there, my beloved brethren. And then he says it like this: for every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Amen. There's no shadows there. Amen. Everything is revealed in the light. There's no variableness. God's not one thing one day and another thing another day. God's not demanding one thing this day and letting it go another day. God's not demanding of this of you today and something else tomorrow. Amen. God is constant. God is pure. God is faithful. God is holy. Amen. And God wants you to be saved. And so he says, look, here it is. And this is who I am. You're not going to be caught by surprise somewhere down. You just need to understand I'm a holy God. You need to understand that my love is holy. My mercy is holy. My faithfulness is holy. Amen. Salvation is holy. And when I fill you with the Holy Ghost, you're pure, you're clean. But the most important thing is you're mine.
You're mine. You're mine. Praise God. There's no shadow of turning. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Does that mean that we're perfect because I have the Holy Ghost? Does that mean that I am without sin? Does that mean that I cannot sin? That I am in a place of entire sanctification? Does that mean that I'll never falter? I'll never fall? No. No, it doesn't. We could go to the book of Philippians, chapter number 1, verse number 6. Be confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He has begun a good work in you. You're not the finished product. As a matter of fact, in the book of 1 John, chapter number 3, verse number 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I'm changing. I'm changing. I'm becoming more like him. I falter. I fall. I mess up. But I have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for my sins. And not for my sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. And so there is this holy and there is this pure God that is interested in saving us. Amen. To, as Hebrews said, to the uttermost. I like to say from the guttermost to the uttermost. God is interested in saving us. And he knows that we're not perfect. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How can we say that? For how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? There, my friend, is the key. You got to be dead to sin. That when the devil comes around tempting, 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 you go back to that old rugged cross and you hide behind that cross. You say, God, I'm here at the foot of the cross. I wanna make it. I wanna make it. Jude said, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. You don't have to fall. You don't have to fall. I didn't say that. Micah said, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, for when I fall, I shall arise. I'm not getting kicked to the curb. I'm not getting left as half dead. He said, I shall arise. And when I sit in darkness, amen, the Lord is going to be a light unto me. David said that the righteous man, amen, is going to get up again
and again and again and again. Why? Because I want to be righteous. I don't want to be unrighteous. I want to be pure. Why? I want to be saved. And I know the only way that I'm going to be saved is I'm going to have to be holy. Holy. I want to be holy. I want to be holy like Him who hath called us to be holy. And I don't get more holy by putting some kajib or whatever they call it on their head and wrapping my face and covering my hands and my feet with garments and robes all the way down and flowing. I don't get more holy like that. I get more holy as I take on His nature. Part of His nature is modesty. But a lot of His nature is love. A lot of His nature is reaching out to the lost. A lot of His nature is bringing people out of darkness. Can I just say it like this? Teaching them Bible studies. Witnessing to them. Loving them. Hey, look. I know you're at the place of suicide. I'm nobody. But oh, if I could be like God, if I could be like Jesus for a moment, let me give you some hope. Let me give you some hope. And telling them about Jesus. Amen. When you love souls like He loves souls, you'll never be more holy than that. Amen. We're not denying standards and modesties and all that. We're not denying that. We're not belittling that. We're not demeaning that. We're not lessening that. We're going to talk about that. But friend, if that's the only thing that you live, is rules. Rules will be broken. But revelations turn to principles, or principles turn to revelation. And revelations will be forever. Because you're not going to sit down and say, thou shalt not, thou shalt. It's as easy as this. If you take the first commandment and do it with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, have no other gods before Him, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, you're not going to be worried about thou shalt not, I can, I can't. Because you have a relationship with the Master. And as we stand here tonight, that holy God, just saying, if you'll draw nigh unto me, I'll draw nigh to you. It's that simple. It's that simple. Our opinion of what's over the top in separation and what's okay matters not to God. He's the one purchasing redemption. He's the one that has gone away to prepare a place for us. That He said that where I am, you may be also. But the profane is not going to be in heaven. The unrighteous is not going to be in heaven. The unclean is not going to be in heaven. But the clean and the holy and the righteous will be. God said, I'll save it. And the Lord said, I will call you out of darkness. Friend, that's love. Because He doesn't have to. I was born in the church. My children were born in the church. Maybe some of you were born in the church. Most of you probably weren't. But can you imagine if that was the requirement to get to heaven?
Oh, Jesus.
Most of us would just be lost forever, condemned, lost.
Right.
But a holy God looked past all of that. Royal seed. That's what they call it, royal seed.
Oh,
a holy God looked beyond royal seed and said, you're a sinner, but I'll save you. And he didn't have to, but he did. And you're here today.
Oh,
and I'm here today. Because a holy God brought me out of darkness into his marvelous light. And I'm here today because a holy God filled me with his Holy Spirit. I can't overcome this world by myself. I can't overcome this world without him. And so God said, I'll go with you. I'll go with you.
Yes.
You go to work, I'll go to work with you. You go to the grocery store, I'll go to the grocery store with you. When you go into that vile place of perversion, that's your work, not the house of ill repute. That's pretty close anyway, but I know I've been out there. I've worked in those places. I've seen some of the most vile, vile things. Heard some of the most despicable, vile things. People bragging about trophies.
Jesus.
God said, I'll go with you to work. I'll go with you to the grocery store. I'll go with you throughout the world. Wherever you go, I'll go. Unless you want to go into one of those houses of ill repute or go into the bars and the honky-tonks and all those other places, then you're going to have to go by yourself. Because I'm not going in there. Praise God. I want to be holy.
Yes,
I want to be holy. Praise God. Can we lift our hands and love him here tonight?
Oh, I love you,
oh, I want to be holy.
Jesus.